Our study tonight is on the last chapter of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 1 through 35, Israel's tribal allotments in the kingdom. It's a lesson and has lessons in relationships. The millennial kingdom that God will provide for his people will display his great grace and goodness, and one particular illustration of that provision is described in his directions for the tribal allotments for Israel. Ezekiel 48 presents those allotments offering timeless lessons in relationships. I'd like to read the passage, and I know it's 35 verses long, but it's a wonderful section of scripture, and I love this passage because it's kind of new to me. I don't recall preaching sermons out of Ezekiel 48, but anyway. Now these are the names of the tribes, from the north end to the coast to the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath Hatzar-Enan, the border of Damascus northward, to the coast of Hamath, for these are its sides, east and west, a portion for Dan. When it says east or west, that means from the east, the farthest eastern border of the Promised Land, all the way to the western border, which is the Mediterranean Sea. All of these tribes are east to west, strips like this, going all the way down. And we'll see why God does that. So by the border of Dan, from the east side to the west side, a portion for Asher, and by the order of Asher, from the east side even unto the west side, a portion for Naphtali, and by the border of Naphtali, from the east side to the west side, a portion for Manasseh, by the border of Manasseh, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side, even to the west side, a portion for Reuben. By the border of Reuben, from the east side, unto the west side, a portion for Judah. And by the border of Judah, from the east side to the west side, shall be the offering which you shall offer of 25,000 reeds in breadth, and in length as one of the other parts, from the east side to the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. This is the holy section. Then in the very center of it has the city of Jerusalem. The oblation that you shall offer unto the Lord shall be 25,000 in length and 10,000 in breadth. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation, toward the north 25,000 in length, and toward the west 10,000 in breadth. Toward the east 10,000 in breadth, toward the south 25,000 in length, and the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And this oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a most holy thing by the border of the Levites. And over against the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 in length, and 10,000 in breadth, and the length shall be 25,000, and the breadth 10,000. And they shall not sell of it, neither exchange or alienate the first fruits of the land, for it is holy unto the Lord. The 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 25,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling and for suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. And these shall be the measures thereof, the north side 4,500, the south side 4,500, east side 4,500, west side 4,500. And the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north 250, toward the south 250, toward the east 250, toward the west 250. And the residue in length over against the oblation of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward, 10,000 westward. It shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion, and the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that serve the city. And they that serve the city shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. All the oblation shall be 25,000 and 25,000. You shall offer the holy oblation foursquare with the possession of the city. The residue shall be for the prince, on the one side and on the other side of the holy oblation and of the possession of the city, over against the 25,000 of the oblation toward the east border, westward over against the 25,000 toward the west border, over against the portions for the prince. And it shall be the holy oblation, and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. Moreover, from the possession of the Levites and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that which is the prince's, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west side, this is going south of that section, Benjamin shall have a portion. By the border of Benjamin, from the east side to the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. By the border of Simeon, from the east side to the west side, Issachar, a portion. By the border of Issachar, from the east side to the west side, Zebulun, a portion. by the border of Zebulun from the east side and to the west side, Gad a portion. And by the border of Gad at the south, southward, the border shall even be from Tamar to the waters of strife and Kadesh and to the river toward the great sea or the Mediterranean Sea. This is the land which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are the portions, saith the Lord God. And these are the goings out of the city of the north side. In other words, these are the gates of the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one for Reuben, one for Judah, one for Levi. And at the east, 4,500, and three gates. One gate for Joseph, that would be both Manasseh and Ephraim. One gate for Benjamin, one gate for Dan. The south side, 4,500 measures and three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, one for Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500 with their three gates, one gate for Gad, one for Asher, one for Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Okay. Ezekiel 48:1-34 provide the layout of the tribal allotments of Israel's 12 tribes. It's very interesting. The tribal allotments of the millennial kingdom will each run from the nation's eastern border to its western border, the Mediterranean Sea. So each tribe will have access to the ocean while also possessing lands that include a wide variety of geological features running east to west. Each tribe, therefore, will have access to the sea, will have lowlands, the plain of Sharon. Then it will have the Shephelah, the hills coming up, the high hill area. And then it will drop off, going off into the Rift Valley. Some will have the Sea of Galilee. Some will have the Jordan River or the Dead Sea. And so they'll have access to a wide variety of geological features. Each tribe will have it. And starting in the north and running south to the temple area will be the lands of Dan, then Asher, then Naphtali, then Manasseh, then Ephraim, then Reuben, and then Judah. Now that's not the same order that existed before. It's true that Dan was originally at the north and Judah was really close. But Judah was not north of the city of Jerusalem, it was south. Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, and Ephraim were north. But Reuben had been originally on the other side of the Dead Sea, over in that area, or up north of the Dead Sea, but on the other side of the Jordan. But Reuben now is north on the west side. Ezekiel then 48:8-22 describes, as it did back in Ezekiel 45:1-8, the sacred portion of the land that will run from the nation's eastern border to its western border on the Mediterranean, including the sanctuary, the priest's portion, the Levite's portion, the city itself, and Prince David's portion. The biggest portion will belong to the prince, David, running a long strip to the west, a long strip to the east. Very interesting. Then continuing south of the sacred portion will be the tribal allotments of Benjamin, then Simeon, then Issachar, then Zebulun, and finally Gad. Each tribe's border running from the nation's eastern border to its western border, the Mediterranean Sea. Now, Gad had originally been north and to the east side of the Jordan. Gad is now finally over on the south end, and it's down where Judah had been. Very interesting. Well, there will also be 12 gates for Jerusalem, three on each of its four sides, with each gate bearing the name of a tribe. On the north will be the gates of Reuben, Judah, and Levi. The east, the gates of Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and Dan. On the south side, the gates of Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun, and on the west, the gates for Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. Each tribe will be able to use its own gate by either entering it directly from the same side of its tribal allotment, or at least to a side of the city, without having to circle around to the opposite side of the city from which its tribal land allotment lies. In other words, let's say this is, pretend this is square, this is the city. If a tribe is up here, its gates will either be on that side of the city or one of the sides here. It won't be all the way around here, so you have to come all the way down here to get into your gate. And the people who are down in the south, the tribes in the south, they'll have one of the three gates here in the south or a side gate here. They will not have to go all the way around the city to come in at the north end. God has arranged these gates and the naming of the gates, specifically keeping in mind the accessibility of the tribes to the city. So the people, when they come, they can come through their own named gates, and when they do so, there's not going to be a traffic jam. It's all carefully metered out. And it's fascinating how God has done that. Okay, Ezekiel 48:35 claims the city will be called "The Lord is there." And that gives the city and nation its greatest fame. The greatest fame is that the Lord is there. The Lord is actually going to be living in the city of Jerusalem. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, himself. And he's God. Well, the lessons on relationships with this layout are as timeless as they are significant as follows. First, God will give each tribe access to the ocean and to the geographical features running east to west in the promised land. Each tribe will be treated without favoritism. The land of Palestine is essentially pretty close, the same going from east to the west. You've got more of a deserty area in the east area. You get climb up to the higher areas, the hills, and then you go off into the Shephelah, or the hills that go down towards the plain and then to the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea will be really valuable to have access to because you need it for fishing, but also for trade. If you want to get boats and ship to other parts of the world, you'll have access. And you will have access to the trade routes that come off of the desert region, Saudi Arabia, and you can trade, you'll have the trade routes able to run right through the tribal territories, which is going to be great. Second, God's placing the tribal allotments and city gates so each tribe might enter the city without circling around the city exemplifies God's honor of the tribes. And that shows that we should honor all men. The first lesson was since God is going to give each tribe access to all the geographical features, he's treating each tribe equally without favoritism. Acts 10:34-35 says, "With the Lord there's no favoritism," and we need to be careful not to show favoritism ourselves as believers. And then God's placing the tribal allotments and city gates so each tribe might enter the city without circling around exemplifies his honor of the tribes. And that fits the call for us in 1 Peter 2:17 to honor all men. It's very important to respect all people. Third, the gates of the city's north side are named for tribes in prominent positions. Reuben was Jacob's eldest son. Judah produced the royalty. And Levi produced the priesthood. And guess what? God wants us to honor those in leadership. 1 Timothy 5:17, honor the elders, especially those who are busy teaching and preaching the word. Fourth, the gates on the east side represent Rachel's sons, Joseph, his sons Manasseh and Ephraim, and Benjamin, and Dan. Now, Dan was the son of Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. And the gates on the south side represent Leah's sons, Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. So God exemplifies our need to honor our parents, not only our fathers in a patristic society as in Israel's case, but also our mothers. It's interesting, Exodus 20, verse 12, "Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother." It's interesting, that's a patristic society where normally they would just think about honoring the parent, the father. But no, you honor your father and your mother. It's interesting, Solomon in the book of Proverbs talks about paying attention to the advice of your father and the advice of your mother. Don't forsake the word of your mother. So here God is honoring these women because they're the mothers of these tribal entities. Fifth, the gates on the west side honor the handmaids that Leah and Rachel used to bear children in their behalf. Gad and Asher were born to Leah's handmaid Zilpah, and Naphtali was born to Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. So God exemplified the need to respect the mothers who were handmaids of a lower social status than Jacob's wives, Rachel and Leah, pointing us again to 1 Peter 2:17 to honor all people. See, these ladies, they were slaves, and they could be taken by their mistresses and used to raise children up unto their mistresses, to the honor of the mistresses. And these ladies really didn't have a choice in it. They were slaves. But here God is honoring these handmaidens, Zilpah and Bilhah, by having the sons of these ladies have their gates and names for them on the west side. So we need to honor all people, people who are high esteem, people of low esteem. And think, it just came to mind, there is a verse in one of Paul's epistles about condescend to men of low estate. I don't know where it is. I remember that verse somewhere. In other words, God wants us to feel free to associate with those of low estate, especially fellow believers. If they're kind of down and out, we need to identify with them. My wife's looking in the concordance. Maybe she'll come up with it here. 6, the new name of Jerusalem displays our need to honor God above all other beings. See, what's going to make Jerusalem, which is the capital, and therefore the entire area of the Holy Land so special, is that God will be living there. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, will be there. That's going to be wonderful. You know, people, they want to go see the Lord. They just go into the city of Jerusalem. He's sitting on his throne. And he knows and has paid for the redemption of all these people. It's going to be a great thing. So the lesson is, Israel's tribal allotments in the millennial kingdom teach us to show no favoritism with people, but to honor all people, to honor in particular those in prominent positions, and to honor women, be they of higher or lower status socially. However, we are to honor the Lord above all other beings. So in application, may we recall that God is an example of how we are to treat every person as made in his image, who thus deserves to be honored and respected without favoritism. And may we honor, of course, the Lord above all other beings.